want you to take your Bible this morning, and I want you to turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, if you will. Let me remind us of something that we already know, but a reminder does not hurt. Let's make sure that your cell phones are turned off so they don't disrupt during the service. If you do need to step out, let's make it an emergency. And remember, though you might not be interested, though I think that you are, if you're not interested in a particular sermon, there are people sitting behind you who are, and we certainly want them to be able to pay attention without interruption. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. Stand with me, if you will. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse number 10. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read out loud in verse 10, pay special attention to verse 13. But the Bible says this, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, we place into your control the sermon. God, I'll preach the sermon. You speak to the people. Use my voice like a carpenter's hammer, like the spatula in the hand of the chef. Oh, like the needle in the sewing machine of the seamstress. Make something good out of this sermon. Make it so that we leave here today having been helped. And for some, challenged in their life in a unique and a special way. Spirit of God, do a work, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. I'm going to give you a couple of other verses that go along with today's sermon. We just read Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." See, the Christian life is a life of success. It's a life of challenge. That's why God would say to us, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Then that means there's supposed to be some things being done, and that there will be challenges along the way. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." And God is telling us that a good man follows an order or an organized path to get to success. Now, when you first hear that verse, "the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord," you think, well, that's just God ordering us around. I think that could be being taught there, but I wonder if God is not saying, get things in order if you want to be a good, successful person. There is an order for accomplishment. I love Joshua 1:8, where it says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." I think God wants Christians to succeed. I think God wants you to succeed. It uses the word prosperous there. God wants you prosperous. Then it uses the word success. It said, "Then thou shalt have good success." And notice it did not just say success. It said good success. I don't know about you. If someone gave me the option to have success or to have good success, I think I'd pick good success. Makes sense to me. Today's sermon, for somebody, it could change the rest of your life. For some, it could reignite a part of your life. I'm going to talk to you about the thought of good success. Good success. Good success have been practiced by a lot of people. The principles of success. I think of Howard Johnson, his hotel chain. They call it Hojo's. He found some success in life. Colonel Sanders. Finger licking good. He's influenced all of our lives. KFC. Some success. Sam Walton and Walmart. known all around the world, financial superpower. Somebody followed some steps. Somebody followed some advice. Somebody practiced the precepts, the concepts, the expectations that allow success to be possible. Henry Ford in the Ford Motor Company. Success. Florence Nightingale, known as the nurse of nurses. Success. Douglas MacArthur, a 5-star general, commander of World War II Allied forces. Now, I wouldn't say I would agree with everything that any of those people did or what they said or how they behaved, but I can tell you this, in their given field, they ended up at the top. I mean, you can't go many places and say, well, I'm really hungry for some chicken without somebody saying, well, how about some Kentucky Fried? Finger licking good. Yeah. I think of George Washington Carver, I think one of the greatest black men in history. You know, when the South was economically destitute after the Civil War, George Washington Carver went and stood before Congress and amazed them because he had developed 145 uses for the peanut, which could flourish in the dry climate, and virtually turned the South around because of those products. That's productivity. That's greatness. Some of you will know these names, some of you will not, but I think of some of the men in the last generation that built some great works for God. A man, Dr. Lee Robertson, and his Christian college in the Highland Park Baptist Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I think of Lester Roloff, a great evangelist and a man that started homes to help children and wayward people to rebuild their lives. And I think of Brother Hiles and his influence in church building. But I'm going to tell you all something. Every one of those people, everybody that succeeded and those people that we would admire as successful people, I believe there was an order. There were certain concepts. There were certain precepts. There were certain guidelines that they followed. Folks, success is not just going to land in your lap. And I'll tell you this, if it did and you didn't know how to keep it, you would squander it. People go out and win the lottery and within 2 years they're bankrupt because they didn't figure out how to get it in the first place, so they couldn't figure out how to keep it when it was just handed to them. I've watched people inherit great corporations and people inherit great amounts of money. They didn't do anything to get it, and usually they don't know how to keep it, and they don't know how it was come by. Therefore, they don't keep it. I'm telling you that there's some certain things that anybody that truly wants to succeed, there's certain things that they need to know. There's certain things that they're going to need to do. I believe that if practiced by the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, if we will get a plan, if we'll have the right ingredients, the sky's the limit. What could God do with us and our church? Oh, what He could do if we could just find those ingredients, if we could figure out what produces good success. I think if you will practice certain things in your life, good success is available. The verses we read earlier, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And then the last half of Joshua 1:8, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I believe that if we as a unit, as the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, will do as God says, and we will decide to do what it takes to have good success, we can have it. I think you as an individual, you too can have good success in your life. You can accomplish, you can achieve. And I don't want to come to the end of my journey and to look back and say, oh, what a waste of my life. I don't want that. I want to look back and I want it to be fulfilling. I love something Brother Croom said. He and I were talking about a week ago. I said, preacher, how you doing? You know, we've gone through a transition where I'm leading the church. And he said, Brother Owens, he said, I love it. He said, I sit back there in my pew and I'm just clipping coupons. He said, I'm watching what God's doing and knowing that we had a part in it. And I'll tell you something, I want to look back someday like Brother Croom looks back, and I want to be able to say, I gave my life to something. I got something done. I accomplished something. I really want to be able to look back and say I helped a bunch of people. I have a passion for helping people. When I'm old and I'm ready to die, I don't care how much money I have. I really don't care how many toys I've gathered. I just hope I can look back and say, you know, I helped that marriage right there. I helped those children. I helped that businessman right there. I'll tell you something, folks. Every last one of us better realize something. The day will come when we'll draw our last breath. The day will come when we will be the ones that will be placed in that grave. And all the big boy toys that you've gathered and so many things that you think are important won't be important. We better find out what success is really all about. And today I want to talk to you. I just call the sermon Good Success. I'm sure for a few minutes you'll feel like I'm rambling, but you'll just have to put up with my ramble. I just jotted down. I said to myself, what brings it? What brings success? Stay with me if I could. May I first of all say, I think everybody here, you got to dream a little bit. You've got to dream. You've just got to dream. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know something, I want to dream for the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. You say, preacher, what's God going to do with our church? I don't know, but if I told you everything I want done, you'd say, wake up quick, you're having a nightmare. But I have a dream. You're never going to get anywhere if you're not able to reach out a little bit into the future and just get a dream, develop a dream. And I want to tell you all something. Some of you that have passed through some life, and some of you that have, now you've gone through some things. Let me tell you something you might have to do. It might be that some of you said, well, preacher, when I was 18 or 19 or 20, when I was younger, I had a dream, but some tough times have come. And some of my dreams, they didn't come true. Well, let me say to everybody in here, you're still alive. It may be time for some of you to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get me another dream. My first dream, something happened and it got crushed to a degree. But you know what I'll do? I'm going to reach out and I'm going to get me another dream. There's some of you right now, you struggle with your spirit some and you struggle with some hopelessness, even to the point of depression. I'll tell you why. For some of you, you had a dream and something happened and your dream got put on the wayside. And you've not known what to do. Well, rise up and get you another dream. Decide, you know, there's nothing I can do about what's already happened. But you know, I can do something from here on out. And I want everybody to hear, to know, you're never going to have great success. I believe it all starts with a dream. It starts with a dream. Every truly successful person discovered what God wanted to do, and they just started dreaming about that. Whether it's dreaming about a successful marriage, or dreaming about a successful family, or ministry, or what you're going to do. Get a dream. Get a dream. I remember when I started captaining my first church bus route. I was 16. I was dumber than an empty box of rocks. They gave me a bus and they said, go get people and bring them to church. I didn't have any idea what was going on, but I can tell you this, I dreamed. I thought, I'm going to try to figure out how to get people to ride on my bus to come to church. And I watched it. I watched it grow. I got to the point where we were running 60 and 70 and 80 people on that bus route. And there were about 90 people that came to our church. We would pull in, there'd be about 10 people sitting in the pew. The bus would pull in and we would overflow. But you know, can I tell you where it started? Just a dream. Just a dream. Mrs. Owens and I, when we were very, very young in our life, we took care of the youth department in our first church. Started out with a handful of teenagers. We just dreamed and dreamed and dreamed. God began to bless 50 teenagers, 60 teenagers. It was incredible. You say, where did it start? A dream. A dream. I started a little Sunday school class, my very first adult Sunday school class. It was for young married couples. And we started with one married couple, Mrs. Owens and I. That was it. We had an empty room and the two of us. She and I, we went out visiting and we'd meet people in the grocery store and they would look like they were a young married couple and we'd invite them to our class. On our opening Sunday, we had 14 total people, I think it's 14 or 16 total people that came. When God called me from that church and had me to go and pastor, that class was running almost 500 people, all young married couples. Say, where did it start? We didn't start with 500. Started with two people and a dream to help marriages. We just wanted to help that dream. Y'all understand the dream, that little thing where you say, you know, I want to be something. I want to do something. I have a dream. I have a dream. I do have a dream. I came to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church with a dream. The very same time the Twin Rivers Baptist Church asked me to come and be their pastor, a Bible college offered me a very prominent position. They said, Brother Holmes, we would love, we'll take care of you. You come, you become the president of our Bible college. You'll draw students. They'll come to hear you teach and preach. Yet there's only one problem. I got it already given me a dream. I had a dream in my heart. Things start, I believe, with a dream for your future. And you know what I want for everybody here? I want you to get everything that God has to offer you in your dream. Picture yourself. Dream of that successful marriage. Dream of that successful family. Dream of that bus route or that Sunday school class. Dream of that ministry. Hey, dream for your children and dream for your marriage and dream for your wife and dream for your husband. Get a dream. Be something. Do something. Don't just live life to eat and sleep. Hey, folks, let's change the world. If you're going to dream, you say, I'm going to go start a business. Start a business. It's a business ran by Christian people that does things different. They use the Bible to treat people right and to be good to people. Dream! I think sometimes we just exist. Mere existence is boring and drab and useless. I love the scripture. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When I think of the great people, the Sam Waltons, the Colonel Sanders, the Lee Robertsons, I'll promise you, they had a dream. I've studied their lives. I mean, I've studied and studied and studied success. I'll tell you something. It really doesn't matter what they're succeeding at. Most all success principles come back to what the Scripture says. Dream. There are people in here, you need to dream again. You need to reach out and say, you know what, I'm going to accomplish this with my life. Number two, I've also found that successful people have a desire. A desire. Proverbs 13:19 says, desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Huh. A desire accomplished. You see, if it's dreaming, some of you say, I love dreaming. You can do that while you lay down and you're asleep. Doesn't cost you anything to dream. Yeah, but then you're going to have to wake up. And then the desire has to kick in. Can I tell you one of the greatest graveyards in the world? Graveyard that's full of dreams that were never motivated by desire. If you dream enough, you'll have to begin desire. Desire, the Hebrew word desire means a longing, a lust for right and good. It's like the starting of a fire. You get a little fire going, and what you do with your desires, you keep adding wood to that thing. You say, I've got this dream, something I believe God would have me to do, and now I'm going to get a fire started under this thing, and I'm going to start putting a little wood here and a little wood there on it. Now I'm going to build a business for God. And hey, there have to be Christian businessmen. I'm going to build a business for God. Well, I've got a dream, but now I'm going to add to it some desire. And you'll never build anything by just dreaming. You've got to wake up and go to work. It then takes a desire. You've got to want it. I remember when I was rearing my boys, I used to talk to them when it come to sports. When they would go into a wrestling match, I would tell them, I'd say, and they would always be a little intimidated. You always wrestled in their weight category. And I'd say to my boys, I said, so I'm going to tell you something. In wrestling, you both weigh the same thing. Usually it boils down to whoever wants it the worst. I said, and if I were you, if I were going into that match with that guy, I'd take him down, put him on his back so fast, so hard, you take the wind out of him and he'll come up going, I don't know if I want to wrestle this guy. And the rest of it's yours. Somebody's got to want it worse than everybody else. I said, just come out of the gate and hit it hard. Let everybody know you want it. Let me tell you something, folks. We live in a mamby-pamby society where everybody is about half numb anymore. Whatever happened to people that wanted it, and they wanted it bad? What happened to the people that want to succeed and want to go forward and want to achieve? Whatever happened to the people that want to do something with their lives? The average Christian, even sitting in this house, you just want to eat and sleep. Get enough to get by. The world has not been made, nor has it been conquered by the people that do just enough to get by. Some want it, some don't. Do you? Tell me, what do you want? What do you want? The reason why some of you don't have is because you don't want. And I'm not talking about a lust or a passion where money becomes more important to God. I'm just talking about, you want to know why your life is boring? You want to know why you're not going anywhere? You don't want to go anywhere. You're more than satisfied with just filling your gut and having a pillow. But the Christian life is to be a life of success and accomplishment and achievement. Some want it, and some want it bad. Preachers say to me, Brother Owens, why through the years have your ministry had some of the successes that it's had? I don't know that I've had a lot of success, but what little success I've had in life, you can ask anybody that knows me, I want it. I'm not just going to dream about what God could do or could have done. I want to dream about it. Then I'm going to set my sights on it, and I want to have a passion. I want to have a drive. I want to have a determination. You listen to me. How bad do you want your Sunday school class to grow? How bad do you want to become one that changes lives? How bad do you want it? You must have the fire that comes with desire. See, if your dream is going to succeed, it will take desire. Do you have desire? I happen to believe that a George Washington Carver had a dream of making an impact on our society. But you don't invent 145 uses for the peanut by just sitting around doing nothing. He had a dream, and he added that special electrifying ingredient of desire. Not only that. My study of people that succeed, I have found number three, they're people of decision. People of decision. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, speaking of the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem, it says in that verse, for the people had a mind to work. You see, let me tell you what was happening. They were trying to rebuild a wall around the city of Jerusalem. The enemy was trying to stop them. They would take their trowel that was used to put cement on. They were laying brick with the tool for laying brick, for spreading cement with one hand. They had to take a sword in the other hand. They had a mind to work. They said, you know what? When the enemy comes, we'll fight with this hand. We'll just keep laying brick with this hand. Let me say to everybody in here, they had made a decision that they were going to build that wall. Said, we are going to build that wall. Someone said, well, opposition may come. They said, fine, we'll put a sword in one hand, and we're going to use the trial in the other hand, but we are going to build that wall. See, you can have a dream, then you add to that dream some fire, some desire, the old preacher called it spizzerinctum. You got to get you some spizzerinctum. You say, where's that in the Bible? It's in the Greek. But people never succeed, and people never go on and do what they could have done unless they're willing to make some decisions. People today, and men, you'll just have to excuse me, I don't plan to give the sissy britches men of our generation a pass. It used to be men could step up and make decisions. It used to be that men knew how to lead. It used to be that men could take the forefront, and you don't find much of that anymore. And I'm not talking about being a male chauvinist pig, I'm talking about being just a pig. No, but really and honestly, I worry about our generation where there are men that can't make decision anymore. Look, there comes a time that we've just got to learn how to make some decisions. We fear decision making. I think one of the secrets of success is once you get the dream, once you decide that you're going to apply the desire, there are decisions that have to be made. Don't get, don't go off half cocked. Make sure your dream is one that God would approve of. I can preach a sermon like this and somebody can say, I love it, Brother Owens. I'm going to do it. I'm going to become a bartender. That's what I've always dreamed of doing. You knucklehead, your dream should never be outside the will of God. I'm going to do it. And then you never come to church again because you're fulfilling your dream. It was your dream, not God's. And I hope you fall flat on your face. You ought to do what God wants you to do with your life, but you do that by getting a dream. You add to it that electrifying ingredient of desire. Then you begin to make proper decisions. Start in the direction of that dream. No, you know, folks, some of you say, well, one of these days, oh, phooey on one of these days. I've watched people one of these days, weeks and months and years, trash their life while they're just, one of these days I'm going to serve God. One of these days we're going to get it all together. Oh, phooey, you're just lazy and you're looking for excuses not to do what you ought to do. Don't procrastinate away all your life and your success. Decide to do right now. Decide that you're going to serve God now. Decide you're going to learn how to succeed now. Learn it now. One of these days, I'll do what it takes to get a promotion down at work. I'm glad you don't work for me. I'm looking for the guy that wanted the promotion yesterday and was working at it, not the one that's going to get around to finally applying himself and do something at work. Y'all okay, right? Some of you need to decide to change your life. Some of you decide to stop being so boring. Stop being so below average. Dream. Dream and desire and then decision. Decide not to be average. Decide to change your humdrum ways into God's fiery ways and accomplish something. I'll tell you, it is a sad, sad indictment against the Christians that the world achieves and the Christians sit idly by and watch everybody else succeed. Now, you might have to work a little extra because you're not going to go party with the boss, but I'm going to tell you something. Hard work pays. We need to get a dream. We need to add the ingredient of desire. We've got to make some strong decisions to say, this is it. I'm going to get started. I'm not going to wait forever. Say, then what do I do? Well, you probably take a dare. A dare? Faith. I'm going to take some faith. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, is yet moved with fear, prepared an ark. You understand that when Noah said, I'm going to build an ark. Everybody else said, why? He said, it's going to rain. They said, what's rain? He said, rain's when water comes from the sky. They said, oh, you stupid fundamentalist. Everybody knows water doesn't come from the sky because up to that point it had not rained. But God put a dream in his heart and he started gathering through desire what it took to build that ark. He started laying it out. And then finally he said, I'm doing this. And when people ask, I'm telling them, I'm going to do this. Noah built by faith. So some of you need to get out on a limb. And then for some of you, be your Christianity. It's time for you to knock off playing church. Yeah, that's right. Stop facading as a Christian. Decide to get in. Get all the way in. All the way committed to God. By faith. Burn some of your worldly bridges. Some spiritual reckless abandonment for the cause of Jesus Christ. I think of so many things in my life. I started a bus ministry. Most of the time, your bus route will run in what you'd call a lower income area where the people couldn't get to church. I started the bus route in a ritzy area. People said, it won't work. It won't work. It won't work. We were going where there were $300,000-$500,000 homes. They said it won't work. And a lot of things didn't work. I'd go and we'd offer the kids bubble gum. They'd hand me a $20 bill. Say, here, we'll help buy it. Say, we're going to give a basketball away. Kid said, I'd get you a scooter. We'd give that away. I'll get you a mini bike. We'd give that away. And the kids are giving me these promotional items. I think, well, these promotional items are not going to work. We went to a city, Munster, Indiana. We went to Highland, Indiana. And these are expensive places to live. I kept asking the Lord. I said, Lord, now I'm supposed to start a bus route in here. I've got to get this bus route started in here. And one day it occurred to me. There's one thing their money can't buy. You can love them and you can be there for them. And all the little gifts and novelties in the world that would not break the ice in those tough cities, the concern of the man of God did. And they started coming on the bus. They didn't need the bus, believe me. But they needed the love that was expressed. What happened? I had to take a dare. Take a dare. Twin Rivers Baptist Church, this is what I've been told. I was told that when a man turns the age of 40, in most cases, he will not build anything for the rest of his life. The average man, even in Christendom, the average pastor will turn 40 and he will live off of what he's already built and spend until his retirement years just hoping to get by. But to come here, we needed to build. And I had to say to myself, in your 50s, are you ready? Will you do that? And all I did is I told the Lord, I said, I don't want to be average. I don't want to be the average man. I want to build in my 50s. I want to build in my 60s. I want to build in my 70s. I want to build in my 80s. You say, build what in your 80s? I have no idea what it'll be, but I'll build with blocks or Legos or something. But you take a dare. I have to tell you, there would have been an easier road for me to hoe. I could have gotten a job anywhere I wanted. I had three different Bible colleges that have offered me works and churches that had already been built. When Mrs. Owens and I pulled together to come to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, we took the dare. I said, I'm not done. I don't want to be the average 40-year-old. I want God to do something. But it takes a dare, a faith, a challenge. Dare to do it. Dare to do it, bus captain. Dare to do it, Sunday school teacher. Dare to do it. Hey, some of you going off to Bible college, do something great with your life. Don't be like everybody else. Get some intestinal fortitude, some guts, some grit, some gall, and go do something. Risk failure. Risk embarrassment. I'd rather try something great than to fail at something average. A dare. I looked at the Douglas MacArthurs and the George Washington Carvers and the Lester Roloffs, the Colonel Sanders, and I found that they were people that dreamed. I found that they were people that had desire. They're people that could make decision, get themselves on track. People that took a dare. I think they were people of dedication. Point five, dedication. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I've always believed what my dad told me. The harder I work, the luckier I get. See, for some, think of dare and dedication and desire, decision. You say, that's all real good. Well, let me explain something to you. Now the dedication comes. Have you ever heard someone say, I'll do it or I'll die trying? That's almost unheard of in the character of today's people. I'll do it or I'll die trying. You want to serve God that bad? You want to do right that bad? Give it your all. Don't let anything stop you. Can I help all of you with something? You won't think this is polite. You won't think this is pleasant. You're very good at making excuses as to why you don't get done what you ought to be getting done. And so, you know, as your pastor, I'll listen to him and shake my head up and down as long as you want me to. Okay, all right, okay, all right, okay, all right, okay, all right, okay, all right. I spend my life, okay, all right, okay, all right. Won't you stop making up excuses? If we spend as much time looking for solutions as we do developing excuses that justify in our sight and sight of other Christians our lack, we'd achieve something. I'll do it or I'll die trying. You say, is that arrogance? I think there's a difference in arrogance and confidence. There's a confidence that comes in a Christian when you know you're doing what God wants you to do. You say, Brother Owens, you seem to me like you would be the kind of person that would be a poor loser. You know what I told him? I said, I don't know. I've never lost. I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person in which to get in a fight with. I want to win. And I don't want to win at any cost. I'm a principled person. At least I try to be. I want to win. I want to achieve. I want to succeed. I have spent enough time in the nursing home that I'll go in and I'll talk to people that are on their last leg. I begin to talk to them about their lives, and I've been around enough of them to think, oh my goodness, they don't have anything more to say. That's it. That's it. No wonder they are so depressed. Boy, I hope if you come see me in the nursing home, you come see me and say, preacher, tell me about your life. Get ready. You think Nofsinger can talk? You just wait. When I'm 95 years of age and you come to my deathbed and you say, tell me about your life, I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you, and I want to talk, and I want to talk, and I want to talk, and I want to talk. God has given us a life. God gave us a life. Now live it and do something and accomplish something somewhere. Hey, there are still opportunities out there. There are mountains that need to be climbed. Hey, there are businesses that need to be built. There are victories that need to be won. And folks, let's not decide to be neutral. Let's make something happen with our lives. You say, what's the secret? It's called work. Dr. Russell Anderson, the great multimillionaire businessman, said this to me one day. He said, you earn a living from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, you become a success then from 5 to 9. I don't want to just earn a living. I want to succeed. You say, well, the union said I can't put more than 8 hours a day in. That union's not in the Bible, just so you know. In the Bible, they put 12-hour days in and succeeded. I'm sure I'm going to have somebody mad at me about that statement. Let me tell you two things and I'm finished. You'll have to add to this direction in life. I've used that letter D, a dream, a desire, a decision, a dare, a dedication. It'll take direction. The Bible says in Psalm 45, he said, I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. Folks, let me tell you something. You want to succeed at something, you got to get on it and don't get sidetracked. Stay at the job. You may face some hardships. Keep on your direction. You may face some heartaches. Keep on your direction. You may face some self-afflicted distractions. Keep on your direction. Keep your focus. When my heart aches, I've tried to keep moving toward my dream. See, preacher, what's your ultimate dream? I probably won't accomplish it. I'd just like to get to the throne and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, I want to die, and I want people to be able to say, you know, he never changed what he believed about the Bible. He never changed it. I want to reach that. But you know what? You got to be careful, because you've got to keep your direction. Oh, I wish preachers would just listen. You got to keep your direction. Hey, they want to change their direction. You change a direction, you done changed your dream. Keep your direction. Dr. Hiles said, if I was driving from Chicago to California and ran out of gas and ran out of money, didn't have any place to get any money, he said, you know what I'd do? I'd get out of my car, put it in neutral, get behind it. I'd push it as far as I could on Monday. Sleep in it if I had to overnight. I'd get back in my car on Tuesday, put it in neutral. I'd get behind it and I'd push it as far as I could on Tuesday. He said, sooner or later, I'll get that car to California. You say, that's ridiculous. It's only an illustration of a tenacity that the last generation in America was known for, that this generation is almost appalled by. What? I could break my fingernail. I could perspire. We called it sweat. I could get blisters on my dainty little hands. It would cost me something. Yeah, and that's why you live in the free country that you do. And that's why we have the religious freedom that we do. Because somebody broke their fingernail. They perspired. And they put some blisters and calluses on their hands. And they got up early and they stayed up late. They had a dream. They had a dream for America to be great. They had a dream for some wonderful things to happen. Hey, don't let something stop you from getting where God wants you to go. And I'm finished, but let me tell you this. It's going to take a lot of devotion. You won't succeed for God without deep devotion for Him. And here's where you'll make your mistake if you're not careful. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for God. Do it for God. And I want to tell you all something. I believe if you'll stay under the preaching of the gospel, if you'll stay under preaching and teaching like you get from this pulpit and have gotten from this pulpit, I'll tell you something, you'll succeed. But don't you make the tragic mistake of succeeding and then forgetting who helped you succeed. Remember from whence came your dream. Succeed for God in this nasty world. But don't you turn your back on God. I've watched people that God wanted them to be doctors, lawyers. They succeeded, but then all of a sudden, you never seen them again in church. I'm going to build a business. I'll use the scriptural principles that have been laid out. I'll get a dream. I'll get a desire. I'll have devotion. I'll do the dedication part. I'll do all that. Yeah, and then God helps you succeed using His principles, and then we never see you in church. You're too good to serve God. Don't forget who gave you the dream. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My challenge to you today is good success. To everybody here, and everybody here is old enough to have proper dreams. Everybody here. By the way, nobody here is too old to have a dream. If you're alive, you got to have a dream. What are you going to accomplish with the rest of your life? You see, I feel a bit worthless. There's a dream out there for you. I'm bored with my life. How can you be bored with your life when God has such a dream for you? And some of you might need a little dream counseling. You might need someone to help you to develop your dream, whether it be with your marriage, your family, your service to God. Hey, business, career, keep God in the center of it. I hope for you good success. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not sure of that, I wish you'd get saved. I wish you'd get born again. Is there anybody here that would say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "I don't even know I'm going to heaven"? Say, "Pray for me." I see a hand. Someone else, you say, "I'm not sure." Okay. If you're not saved, I hope you'll get saved today. Let me say then to those of you that claim to have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have a dream? Is it just to eat and sleep? That's not a dream. I just want to survive the day. That's not a dream. Some of you need to reestablish your dream. Some of you have been crushed. Get a new one. Get a new one. Let's fulfill the purpose for which we've been created. Let's not waste our lives. Let's not be 95 years old in that nursing home with nothing good to look back on. Who here this morning, by uplifted hand, would say, "Preacher, I either will get a dream or I have a dream. I'm going to reignite that dream, but I am going to attempt to put into practice what has been preached to me today." Would you raise your hand? Their hands up all over the place. God bless you. God bless you. Get a dream. Good success. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. There's some of you, you need to come back. You need to get on your knees and say, "God, help me. I want to set some new goals in my life." You set you a dream. Get your eyes on it. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you need the altar? I'll get me a new dream. I'll reignite my old dream. I'm not going to stop dreaming. I'm going to grow. I want to do something with my life. So what do? You get a dream. You add that intense thing called desire. You make right decisions, good decisions.
by faith. You step out. You dare. Takes dedication, determination. You stay on it. Keep your direction. Don't get sidetracked. Stay on it. See, I used to have a dream of raising my kids right. Stay on it. Don't give up on that. And then that devotion. That devotion primarily to the God that gave you the dream. And I'm not trying to convince you to dream up your own dream. You need to do what God wants you to do. Never from this pulpit do I think it's okay for you to go do what you want. You do what God wants you to do. Help people, teach people, love people. Devotion. Today's sermon could totally transform someone's life. You say, I feel a bit aimless and worthless. Today could change it. You could say, I'm going to start dreaming the way God wants me to dream. I'll pay the price. The pianist will continue to play. There are people yet praying. There are some of you, you've seen some of your dreams crushed. It's time for you to get a new dream. There are some of you, your dream has been put on the wayside. You say, I had a dream, but my health isn't going to allow it, so you put it aside. Well, either you need to get a new dream or just face it. You're to fulfill your dream with that health issue, but don't use that health issue to keep you from having a dream. You say, I fulfilled my dreams in my youth. Well, then get some dreams in your middle years. Get some dreams in your senior years. Said, I dreamed of us owning the little house on the corner with a picket fence, but that's not been the case. Then try again. Say, I was going to build something. You say, it didn't work. Well, try again. Dream. Don't dream the devil's way. Dream God's way. Let's dream. Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Let's dream. Let's dream about what God can do. And then let's pay the price to fulfill God's dream for our church. This will be the last time through the song. There are yet people.